Good morning. Father Steve once told me when preparing homilies to leave room for the Holy Spirit. He said, don't try to have it all nailed down tight and fast because you need room for the Holy Spirit to come in and inspire you. You never know what you might come up with. And he's right. He's been very right. Actually, the first time he hit me with that was, it wasn't my turn for the homily. And he said, are you ready to give a homily? I said, no, I haven't prepared. He goes, well, what do you mean you haven't prepared? Go. You've got it up there. You just need to pull it together. Can you hear me? No? Golly, I don't know what it is with this thing. All right, is that better? Make any difference? I mean, I'll move. I don't know what the problem is. I'll pull it up. I mean, you can hear me fine in the altar, right? Yeah. All right, is this a little better? A little higher? All right, well, maybe if I just stand right here. How many of you have seen the movie Fiddler on the Roof? Remember that? Okay. And by the way, if we ever do a production of that here, I know who I'm casting as Teviev. He's right in there, right? Wouldn't he be perfect? He'd be perfect for that. But there's a good scene in the movie where Teviev, who is the adult, oh, now I can hear. Teviev goes to his wife, whose name I think is Golda, and he's having some kind of crisis, existential crisis. And he says, Golda, do you love me? And she says, she looks at him. She has no idea where he's coming from with this. And she says, I married you as a young woman. She doesn't exactly answer his question. He says, Golda, do you love me? And she says, I bore your children. Again, she deftly dodges the question. He's not satisfied with that. He says, Golda, but do you love me? And she says, I haven't left you yet. And he goes, and then finally, the fourth time, Golda, do you love me? And I think she finally says, you know, Teviev, I do. She just hadn't thought about it. The cares and concerns, the worries, they had three daughters, had just overwhelmed her, the get by through the day. I think in today's gospel lesson, Christ is asking first the blind man and then the demoniac, the dumb demoniac who couldn't speak, do you love me? Now, he didn't use the word love, but he said, do you trust me? Do you believe that I can do for you what you want me to do? And that is, give them their sight. And what did they say? They said, yes, we do. We love you. We believe you. We trust in you. If you think about it, those all really mean the same thing. Do you love me? So they said, yes, Lord, Son of David, we do. We love you. And he healed. He said, then, according to your faith, let it be done to you. Oh, according to your faith, let it be done to you. That makes me think of our Holy Mother, when she was surprised in the temple when the Archangel Gabriel came to her and said, you will have a child. And she said, how will this be? I do not know a man. And he said, it has pleased the Lord that this be so. And she said, let it be unto me according to thy word. These are very similar expressions of faith and trust in things we don't fully comprehend, control, or understand. And therein lies the whole point of faith and trust. Now, the blind men believed, they loved, they trusted. You might say, what did they have to lose? Well, okay, maybe. Maybe that helped them out. Maybe they were willing to take the chance. But then they brought the dumb demoniac. And when it says dumb, that just means the guy couldn't speak, right? Doesn't mean he was of low intellect necessarily. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But he just couldn't speak. Well, why? Well, probably because he was demon-possessed. And he was healed also. We don't know whether he believed in Jesus or not. Maybe that was just an act of grace on Christ's part. Maybe he did. I don't know. But contrast that with the Pharisees. Now, these guys read the scripture. They worshiped God. They knew what they were talking about or should. Apparently, they were there witnessing these events. They knew the scriptures in Isaiah that said, when the Messiah comes, the deaf will hear, the blind will see, and the lame will walk. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing. He was healing all of these people. Some of these things had never, never been done before, like the healing of one born blind. Never been done. So the Pharisees, they see this, and what do they say? Oh, well, he does that by the power of Satan. Wow. He does that by the power of Satan. Well, there are a number of issues with that. One is Satan, like pretty much all of us, he seeks to gain power, not lose it. He's not going to use his power to take it away from one of his demons, his angels, who's doing something he likes. He's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. And you know, elsewhere in the scripture, we see a phrase, Christ said, even though they may not accept me, Jesus Christ, as long as they don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit, they're okay. They can be saved. But if they blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that's the unforgivable, unpardonable sin, I believe he says. And people will often say when you read that passage, well, what's an example of that? We have an example of that in today's passage. Here are the Pharisees, people who should have known better, with their own eyes and ears, standing there watching, listening, hearing, seeing these miraculous, beloved healings. And what do they attribute it to? Well, that's the power of the devil. If that's not blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, I don't know what is. That heart is so hard that they don't want God in their lives. And it's possible, don't think this is just something they had a monopoly on 2,000 years ago. That's possible for us here today. This life is like a carnival ride. Have you ever gone to those rides? I remember once as a child, I don't know what to call it. It's where, you know, like the floor moves and then you cross into a different part and the floor spins and then here it's all up and down. I don't know what they call it, but I remember Dad trying to get me to go through one of these. Is that a carnival? I don't remember. And we were there with another family and they had a daughter. She was a little bit older than me. And boy, she shot through that thing like a cannon. And Dad's like, okay, go ahead, son, you can do it. You know, she did it, you can do it. I'm like, I don't know, Dad, that looks pretty risky. I don't know. I wasn't up for it. I don't know. I don't know why. I didn't do it, and I could tell he was disappointed in me. But you know, that ride is like this life. We don't know what's coming. You know, it's got flashing lights, the floor moves, people fall down, it turns, it corners, it drops, it does. You know, we don't know what's coming. And I'm not going to make the mistake of Origen and say that we somehow, in our personhood, pre-existed our birth, okay? Origen went there. You can see things in Scripture that kind of might, you know, but okay, Origen went there. The fathers didn't accept it, so I'm not saying that. But if we're standing somewhere before birth and God says, okay, here you go, I'm about ready to drop you in, parachute, here you go, you're going to earth, do you love me? You're looking down and seeing all this, and like, oh, gee, I don't know, man, you really, I got to do this? Do you love me, right? And then that's our choice through this life. We ride the rapids of this life. We lose people. Friends leave us. Family die. It happens. Disease, illness. Do you love me? What if hard times are coming? You know, I don't know. What if there's some kind of natural catastrophe? What if we have another economic setback? Do you love me? That's what he wants to know. All this stuff here, it's passing. Just like the hair on my head. It used to be black and wavy, but it passed just like, you know, hey, all this stuff is passing. And I think the biggest part of this life is learning to love God and let go. When someone dies, we mourn for them, we remember them, but we let them go. We went back to my college campus and I went to visit the fraternity house. Wow, it had really changed, and not for the better. There had been a fire, I don't know, 20 years ago, and they had totally renovated it. And instead of the nice wood trim they had on the inside, I guess it burned, I don't know, it was just these white walls. There was no art at all, nothing. And I don't know, it was just odd. And I felt sad. I mean, I had lost a place. Now, granted, I hadn't been there 20 years, but I had lost something. A part of life had gone. I can never go back there. I can look at pictures maybe. But that's this challenge in this life, isn't it? Learning to let go, to pass things on to the generation behind us, coming up just like those before us did. So, do you love God? How do you know? Do you love your neighbor? How do you know if you love your neighbor? What are you willing to do for them? Are you willing to sacrifice for them? That is how you know if you have faith. If you love your neighbor and you're willing to sacrifice for them. And by the way, your neighbor starts at home, right? Your husband, wife, children, that's neighbors. You don't get to exclude them because they're not neighbors. They are. They're neighbors. It starts at home and radiates outward. Think about these things. Think about these things and be prepared, because I think that's what God's going to ask us. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, I did as best I could, and I tried to love my neighbor in my weakened and sinful state as best I could, because I'm very selfish. And He knows that. He knows that. He just wants us to try. To try. So think about these things. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.